This is a plastic pop bottle. This looks like a cut-up plastic bottle, but it's actually a boat. You need to imagine this boat with a mast sticking out of it, with the name of a deanery on the flag at the top of the mast: Waterloo, London, Essex, Oxford, etc. Imagine 10 of these boats floating in a big tub of water. For a dollar, you can buy a stone the size of a walnut and put a stone in any boat that you wish to sink. For $2, you can take a stone out of any boat so that that boat won't sink. The goal? Be the last boat to sink. 20 minutes after this fundraiser was announced by Synod's youth delegation, I went out to the hallway to find 8 boats sunk and Waterloo's still floating. I am not entirely sure, but I think we won the initial contest. Later, I heard that the Saugeens contributed $450 to refloat the whole armada so more people could sink more boats. Overall, the youth delegation raised a whopping $2,700 with a very fun activity. 90% of these monies will fund the Youth Clay Conference in Thunder Bay in 2018, and the remaining 10% will help fund safe drinking water. Now, the rest of Synod wasn't quite this exciting and dramatic. Okay? There were certainly other highlights which Leslie and I will share, but overall I'd say that our Anglican churches met to deal realistically with our present situation, and we can actually take some hope from this fact. As Bishop Linda expressed it, we are called to become vibrant, sustainable communities of faith, with the emphasis on both vibrant and sustainable.
Synod opened with Bishop Linda's charge, where she reminded us that the last year was filled with sorrow, change, and celebrations. And now we need to think about where God is calling us. Her theme was aptly, one body, one spirit, live a life worthy of your calling. As Christians comprising one body and one spirit, our first and primary calling is to follow Jesus, to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. When Bishop Linda stressed for this coming year is that we will be a diocese of vibrant, sustainable communities of faith that offer holy and lively worship, that care for one another and the community around them, and live the 5 marks of mission in all their activities. Our diocese has continued our work towards truth and reconciliation and heard from the Bridge Builders Group. This group started out of a previous synod to understand the impact of the doctrine of discovery. Their focus is teaching and building relationships and not casting blame. They foster truthful conversations through house groups, blanket exercises, and working with young adults at Huron University College. Being one in Christ brings an opportunity to cooperate and work towards healing. When we gather at the table, we are called as one body. Bishop Solo from the Diocese of Amazonia followed with similar themes to the Bridge Builders Group while discussing the companionship of our 2 dioceses. The plight of his people in Brazil is not much different than that of our indigenous people. However, Bishop Solo reminded us that Jesus insisted we love our neighbors. We are not islands, but part of a vast continent called humanity. And after meeting new people, we are not the same. Bishop Solo has stepped down as bishop, and he and his wife, Ruth, will be taking a different but unknown spiritual path in the future. He ended his report with, "Thank you very much. The struggle continues."
I'd like to share a few significant financial facts about the diocese. First, we continue to reduce the debt of the diocese. This is a considerable accomplishment, and it's well worth remembering that the $327,000 of debt is not due to mismanagement, but due to the extraordinary legal costs we incurred some years ago from settling lawsuits that derive from our residential schools. Secondly, enough money has come forward to make the initial repairs to our cathedral, so we were able to worship in it at the beginning of Synod. The bishop made it very clear to us that she is not prepared to let this edifice succumb to neglect or let this primary symbol of our faith tradition in the diocese disappear. If you'd like to add one more mug to your kitchen collection, I gotta find my place here, and help support the restoration, and this really is a very handsome, large mug. Big cup of coffee goes in this one. Let me know, and I'll try to get some. They are $10 each, and clearly, I bought one. Thirdly, through the Huron Health Hunger Fund and Primates World Relief Development Fund, we have directed a remarkable $440,000 to providing clean, safe water to some of our Aboriginal communities, which is not just an environmental issue, but one of social justice and the safeguarding of our created world. Fourthly, apportionment monies from our churches in the diocese were up in 2016 by over $107,000, despite fewer churches, so that was an excellent result. Lastly, one corner of one of the corridors in the conference center was jam-packed with adult backpacks and school supplies intended for children in the community of Kingfisher in Northern Ontario, one of our remote parishes. It took hours for people at Synod to organize and fill these packs. The response from you and other parishes was overwhelming, so much so that 15 of the smaller kid-sized packs came back to Waterloo for our regional Children's Aid Society. So well done.
Make your mark at HCC 2017 is a current theme for our Huron Church Camp. The diocesan camp, located on the waters of Lake Huron, provides funds for kids to get to camp who would not normally have the opportunity. Our diocesan youth gathered on the same weekend as Synod to open the camp. Recent registration is encouraging, but there are still lots of spaces for LITs, or leaders in training, who typically are grade 9 and grade 10 students. The camp is continuing to work on fixing bathrooms and recently created new seating around the campfire and a new highway sign. I bought this cute cuddly, isn't he cute, as a great way to raise funds and advertise the camp. HCC has created a new video which is intended to give a voice to the camp. It's all the counselors, and they taped all their voices of why they come to camp. And I'm hoping to link that video onto our Facebook page. As some of you know, Camp Wendake is a camp offered in the last week of the summer at HCC for those suffering from AIDS or HIV. These campers feel like modern-day lepers. They have suffered from discrimination and bullying and find this camp a place of love. The week is supported by a large group of volunteers, including our own Brother Mark, who help our campers find the Christ in our Christianity.
My next remarks will come as no surprise. We have been losing congregations. Between 2005 and 2016, a period of 11 years, we have lost 31 churches in the Diocese of Huron. We now have 178 congregations. More significantly, in the same time period that we lost 15% of our churches, we lost 30% of our Sunday attendance. In this context, what the bishop is asking every single parish in the diocese to do is five things. First, take a hard look in the mirror. Secondly, come up with a doable and realistic five-year plan that will sustain the parish, because clearly our ministry has to match our resources. Thirdly, stop using endowments or memorial funds to pay for ongoing church expenses, which is not an issue for our church. Fourthly, focus on the five marks of mission and discipleship rather than on the buildings. And fifthly, find a way and find different ways to tell our story to the communities we live in. It would be my own view that our church, St. George's, is in a fairly good place, fairly good shape. But it would also be my own view that we cannot be complacent. We will continue to need to ask if our own model of an Anglican faith community needs to be reshaped to meet the needs of our parishioners and the needs of our neighbors. As the bishop put it, we need to figure out what will move us forward. Historically and biblically, it is very clear that Jesus did not plant or build buildings. He engendered communities of faith and service.
There were several speakers detailing the ways that the diocese is living the five marks of mission. The Huron Hunger Fund spoke about the inequality of poor, inadequate housing and drinking water in the North, and the Justice League of Huron discussed the impact to drinking water and closure of beaches at Wapol Island near Sarnia. They both demonstrated that the quality of water is important to everyone. Access to clean water is a human right. Through the passing of the water motion, the bishop has directed us to discuss these issues with our parish to determine what we can do. Both the Anglican Church Women and Brotherhood of Anglican Churchmen made presentations regarding their respective groups. The ACW pointed out that first impressions of the ACW may be those over 75, preparing turkey dinners, crocheting blankets, and hosting ham suppers. However, they do much more, and often find themselves going on field trips. Apparently there was a trip to a vineyard, leading Bible studies and hosting intergenerational activities. Their motto is to serve God through prayer, work, and stewardship. The BAC, Brotherhood of Anglican Churchmen, follows the motto of lead a life worthy of our calling and spend their time supporting Huron Church Camp, Monica Place, and offering a scholarship at Huron University College, as well as being involved in Project Jericho, the Indigenous Suicide Prevention Program, and the International Justice Mission. With respect to refugees, over 200 have been sponsored so far by our diocese, 8 adults and 10 children by our own deanery. As a diocese, we are hoping to process 700 more. What is important to report is that the refugee families that have the support of Anglican churches are generally doing fairly well a year after arriving in our country. There is a huge benefit when a committee of 8 or 20 or 30 parishioners helps solve the innumerable problems and challenges that refugees face when they arrive, well beyond any financial support that we can provide. Barry Craig, the new dean of Huron University College at the University of Western Ontario, gave an excellent short address. The college has recognized that there are 1,100 students who are not necessarily Christian. Buddhist, Jewish, Hindu, Islamic, atheist, agnostic. These young people have lots of energy and a high level of idealism not connected to the church, and they want to be challenged. Under Barry's leadership, the college is instituting a new requirement for any student who comes to Huron as of this fall. These students will be required to complete a community service commitment that will take them out into the community to make a mark in furthering social justice. Barry told us that employers are now looking for graduates who have character, not just intellect, and who have a passionate desire to improve their communities and their world. This move by Huron, to be leaders with heart, is truly inspiring change to the requirements of a university education. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention Renison, our Anglican University College at the University of Waterloo. Get a load of this. During Passion Week on Palm Sunday, a group of Renison students decided that the media and regular social discourse were ignoring important religious messages or being too negative. So these students took it upon themselves to grab large pieces of colored chalk and go all over the campus and write biblical verses and ideas of wisdom wherever they could. Sidewalks, the walls of buildings, steps, you name it. We saw a short video of their amazing work. So spontaneous. Evangelism on the fly.
With respect to stewardship, we heard some really interesting remarks, which I will summarize. We were told that we need to experience giving as a need within us, not a duty, as the thanks we want to express for all the gifts that we recognize God has given us. If perceived this way, stewardship becomes a giving out of abundance rather than a painful or burdensome sacrifice for a higher cause. We then give as a way of serving a church in a world that we want to thrive, and we can do so with enthusiasm. Furthermore, we can give with a spirit of lightness and laughter as an indication of our confidence in God's generosity. We were told that the dividing of stewardship into time, talent, and treasure, the traditional way, arguably narrows stewardship into three choices. We should instead view our giving as an all-encompassing activity grounded in our whole faith development and expression. And to be quite frank, I'm still thinking about these challenging remarks. With respect to motions and bylaws, which I know is near and dear to your hearts and something you've been waiting for weeks for me to talk about, I will try not to bore you. A couple things are worth mentioning. On Monday at Synod, we passed motions that changed the makeup of selection committees struck to find new rectors. They will in the future be a bit smaller and consist of no more than 8 people. The intent here is not to limit input from the congregation, but to ensure the committees are a manageable size. The second noteworthy change, which was part of the same bylaw change, is that there is now a clear intent to include a youth representative on any future selection committee, if possible. Lastly, a significant part of Monday afternoon was spent reviewing proposed changes to our Anglican marriage canon. The whole of Synod broke into small groups of about 20, both clergy and lay people, to provide feedback to the bishop. The discussions were held recognizing that same-sex marriage is a painful topic for those who do not favor a change to our traditions or our canons, and the topic is also painful for those who feel that our traditional rules have for at least 10 years excluded many faithful same-sex couples from full recognition by our Anglican Church. To be clear, in our discussion groups, we were not asked to vote on the issue, but to help convey back to Bishop Linda where our diocese as a whole is sitting on this issue. The discussion group of about 25 that I happened to be assigned to was pervasively, not uniformly, but pervasively, inclined to favor changing the canon so that it will apply to all persons who are duly qualified by civil law to enter into marriage. The reason that this is significant is that our discussion group was made up of older adults. In other words, many long-standing members of our Anglican Church are in favor of applying the marriage canon to same-sex couples. As we went from person to person to person to person around our circle, where you might have expected some rearguard resistance, we heard two things. We either heard heartfelt, compassionate reasons to extend our approval of committed, non-traditional relationships, or we heard impatience that it was taking our church this long to catch up with the change in civil laws introduced in 2005. And just so you know, the resolution to effect a change will only occur if it is passed by General Synod at a second reading in 2019, so we're still 2 years away. It's not a done deal. And there is still considerable resistance in some areas of our church family, both nationally and globally, Africa in particular. But I would venture to say that we appear headed toward confirming same-sex marriages in our broader communion in those dioceses where our parishes feel comfortable with this change. And I thought you should know that.
I want to end on a truly positive note. Bill Cliff, who was snapped up from our diocese last year to become a bishop in Manitoba, has had in only 1 year done a fantastic job of rejuvenating our church in a huge territory of the Diocese of Brandon. He is responsible for 51 churches in 31 parishes. He showed us photos taken while driving 7.5 hours on gravel and dirt roads to a remote northern church to confirm 10 to 12 First Nations young people. Truly inspiring. The remote churches themselves are small and nondescript, built mostly to withstand harsh weather, but the interiors in the photos were outstandingly beautiful. We were told that the key question he keeps putting to his Anglican parishioners is, why don't we do this? That's it. Try something new. I'm mentioning Bill's ministry because we help support the Diocese of Brandon and are Anglican partners with him, whether we realize it or not. More importantly, his renewal of our church is a tremendous sign of hope. As we said earlier, the challenge put to us at Synod is to be one body, one spirit, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Bishop Linda ended Synod with what is called the way home. She asked us to take our learnings back to the parish, feel the spirit, be open to change, celebrate, laugh, have hard conversations, and know that many are working hard and are encouraged and energized. We leave as a team known as Team Huron, which is committed towards strong discipleship and our continual work toward and for one another for the sake of God's mission in our world. In this diocese, let it be known that we are committed to leaving lives worthy of the callings to which we have been called. Thanks be to God.
It says in the bulletin there's time for a homily.
How much time?
In just a minute or two, let me say a word to follow through on what was a very thorough report from Synod, which for the first time in decades, I did not attend. The joy of retirement. Let's follow through on that whole question of identity that began our liturgy today. Who are we? We are followers of Christ. We are members of a wider community in this country. We are also, those who are drawn to this place, members of this parish family. But we do not live that identity in isolation. Because one of the things that was reported in the Synod report was the fact that it is because Anglican congregations come together within the context of deaneries that refugee families are supported. The fact is that if one particular parish took on a family, it could be a real challenge and burden, but when Anglicans come together, there is something wonderful and positive that happens. So from our parish family to the deanery ministry. But let's also be aware of the fact that we've heard within the context of that Synod report that there is a much wider family that we're a part of than the Diocese of Huron. I ask you to have in your prayers a parish in Woodstock that's losing its rector. Where is he coming to?
Satan.
All right. So you need to have that particular group of people in your thoughts and prayers as members of this diocesan family because of the shared ministry that we exercise here in this part of this country. And we also need to recognize that we are part of a global, a worldwide Anglican communion. And within that context, we are able to proclaim our Christian faith in a world that is not always receptive to that message. But we are called upon to do that because we are nurtured here in this place by word and sacrament to make a difference in God's world. So you see, it's not a question of depending on others to exercise ministry that makes a difference. It's being mutually responsible and interdependent members of the body of Christ that allow us as people of faith to support one another, to nurture one another, to reach out to the wider community, and to serve our Lord. So as we celebrate the ministry that we are called upon to exercise as people of faith in this place, we stand up to declare who we are as followers of Jesus as we stand to offer the Nicene Creed on page 188.